through the church, and I'm going to give you a tour of the church. The next few days, or the next few classes, like she said, we're going to do a biblical walk through the Mass, and I feel like it's very helpful to walk through the church and see kind of where the Mass takes place, and why we do some things here, why we do some things there, what each thing means, because the architecture in Catholic churches has a lot of deeper meaning, so we're going to touch on that. So if you want to follow me to the church.
Like how you said, follow me to the church, and everyone's going before you. That's nice. I'll follow you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, beauty before peace.
How are you, man?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. Doing all right.
Yeah, one kid, three kids.
It's been so long.
Okay, well, why don't we get all right here if we can, because my mic's not working yet. Okay, so like I said, architecture in the churches is really important, and this church is actually laid out a little bit differently. If you go to a cathedral, especially an old cathedral, they're going to be laid out in the form of a cross, and usually you'll see the baptismal font will be located right here. There's a very big significance of why the baptismal fonts are located right here, and that's because when we, through the sacraments, when we enter the church through baptism. So all of you that have not been baptized in the Christian faith, you'll be baptized at Easter, and that'll be your first sacrament that you receive, because that's your first, there we go, now I don't have to shout. That'll be your first initiation into the church. So just as you walk into the doors, you'll see that that's where the baptismal fonts are usually placed. Then if we go into the same shape of the cross, where the altar is placed, if we think of like Michael's talk where he said that we are the body of Christ, I love to think of the church as like a crucifix and Jesus on the cross. And so the altar where we celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass is where Jesus' heart would be. And then Jesus is the head of the church, and his head is right behind that, where the tabernacle is, where we keep Jesus continually all the time. So if you, in a Roman-style church, you would have side chapels, and you'd have side aisles like this one, but then it would also go out like the Cathedral of the Madeleine, where it would have seats on both sides, and it would be shaped in the form of a cross. Okay, so we're going to walk around this way, so if you want to follow me over here. Okay. Just keep coming around over there. Make sure everybody can get a view of the aisle. All right, so in every Catholic church, you'll see some form of these things up here. Does anybody know that's not Catholic what those are called?
Stations.
Just a minute. Yes. The Stations of the Cross. So especially during Lent, on Fridays, we will pray the Stations of the Cross. It's an actual really deep prayer, and you do it as you walk. So they actually start over there, and then you walk all the way around the church. And you're walking through Jesus' Passion and praying and meditating on the Passion of Jesus through Holy Week. These were first created by St. Francis of Assisi in the 1100s. And he created them because back then, when people would go to confession, some of their confessions would be like, we were in battle and I killed someone. And the priest would give them penance of going on pilgrimage. And their pilgrimage would be to the Holy Land. But in St. Francis's day, the Holy Land was conquered by the Muslims, and it was very dangerous for people to travel to the Holy Land. So Francis had this idea to just put a pilgrimage in the churches, because when they would go to the Holy Land, they would walk the Via Crucis, which is the way of the cross. And so he decided to just instill the way of the cross in each church, so they didn't have to physically walk to Jerusalem. They could do it inside each parish. So we have those in every single church. He also was the first one to develop the nativity set with like the oxen and the cows and the sheep and stuff like that we see today. So we'll keep going this way. If you ever come to the church on Wednesday nights, you might see people lined up on this side of the church. And the reason they're lined up over here is because they're in line to go to confession. So we're going to walk over to the confessional. Kira, can you open the confessional? So this area in our church also has our statue of the Holy Family. This is just an area where you can come and pray. The candles we have here are lit for prayers. So if you want to think of a loved one, you can light a candle for the loved one. And then it's also a good time just to come and pray. It's a nice quiet area away from everything else in the church. But here we have the confessional. So if you've never been in a confessional or seen a confessional, you can come and see ours. Every church, the confessionals are a little different. You do have the option with this one where Father is going to sit on the other side of the partition. There's a chair where you can sit and face Father, or you can kneel and be kind of hidden from him and he will not see you. Especially the way that he's seated, you can see that he's going to face forward. So if you're kneeling, he would not see you. He's not going to look over for you. But each person, you can go ahead and come on and take a walk inside so you can see it. Everybody's walking through the confessional. Over here, kind of hidden, there is a font of holy water. This holy water you can use to take home to your house. So we have little bottles that you can find over by the offices, and you can fill those up and you can take them to your house. If you have a holy water font at your house, you just come and replace it here. Mine usually evaporates super fast because Utah's so dry, but it's a good opportunity here to get holy water at your house.
Question for you.
Yeah.
The icons on the wall over there.
Yeah.
And at the Orthodox Church, they'll kiss icons.
Yeah.
And is that a Catholic thing too? Or?
So his question were the icons on the wall. And he said in Orthodox churches, they'll kiss the icons. I don't know if it's a practice to kiss them in the Catholic Church, but you could honor them. There's no disrespect in honoring the icon.
Icons are known as like windows in heaven. So if you're like looking at icons, like there's a specific structure in which like iconographers write icons because it's not based off of feelings or whatever, but it's like a glimpse into heaven. So like that could also come from like the reverence that
people have. Yeah. Okay, so now we're gonna walk over here to our baptismal font. really pretty in the shape of a shell. Shells are usually what they would pour the water over the baptized person's head. They would use a shell to carry the water. Also over in the corner, we have our three different oils. So these oils are special to the church. They're during Easter, during Lent, there is a chrism mass at the cathedral, and the bishop blesses the oils, and then he gives them to all of the churches in his parish, or in his diocese. So those are the oils that we use for baptism, for holy order, for confirmation, for, what's the other one? Anointing of the sick, yeah. They smell amazing. So you'll smell them when you get baptized. And confirmed. This is our Easter candle. So this candle is lit during Easter, and then it will be lit during all of Easter. Easter is a season, not just a day. And we have one for each different year. And you will see this, the new candle will be lit during your guys' Easter confirmation. That night is amazing, and that's when we get the new candle. Okay, now we're gonna walk back here. Come on in. Make room for everybody else. Okay, so this is where we have the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, we always keep a consecrated host. So if you come into the church, you can just open this up. They don't want you to touch the glass, but you can just open it up, and then there you will see Jesus. And there's a place for you to kneel and pray. You can pray in here by yourself. You can pray with a group. You can pray the rosary here. You can just sit and reflect. But you can. This is your opportunity to spend time with Jesus. This is something that, as a Protestant growing up, I never had this in my church and never understood the significance of this until I became Catholic. And then once I did, this is like one of my all-time favorite places to be. It's so peaceful, and you get to be as close as you can to Jesus. So just be respectful when you're back here. Make sure you always close this when you leave. The painting back here is from the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is walking with two disciples. And, you know, he gives almost the whole Mass to them, where he teaches them about typology. He shows them how he fulfills everything from the Old Testament. And then they go and they sit down and eat. And while they're eating, when Jesus breaks the bread, the scales of their eyes are removed from them, and then they realize that it's Jesus, and then he vanishes from their sight. So that's similar to how we have the Eucharist, where Jesus is present to us in a meal, and then he's vanished. So we don't really see him in his form that he is there, but we see him in this form. So, yeah. The candle, yeah, good. So you'll see a sanctuary candle. This red candle here is, there's one, this church has two because our tabernacle is a little bit hidden behind the wall. But whenever the candle is lit, that means that there is a consecrated host here and that Jesus is present. There's one day of year that will be removed, and you'll see that the candle is extinguished, and then they'll actually have this open, and there won't be anything inside there. So, anytime you go into any church, as long as you see the candle lit, you'll know that Jesus is present, and you can go and pray. Okay? All right, we're going to walk up the ramp here. We're going to go into this little room right here. Don't walk by it. You'll miss it. I'll let you guys go on in. Well, I guess I'll have to stand in here too. Come on in. We'll see how many people we can fit inside.
Let's put VW on that.
Stack room.
Okay, so while everybody's kind of funneling in, this is the preparation room. So there's a list of how things are handled within the church. This is where we keep all the linens for Mass. This is where we keep all of the vessels for Mass. It's where we'll keep all of the unconsecrated host for Mass, the unconsecrated wine for Mass, And my favorite thing in this part of the church is the sink. So the sink actually has really weird plumbing. It does not go anywhere. It just goes straight to the ground, straight to the earth. And that's because all of the linens and things that we use at Mass are cleaned here, and they just, you know, go back to where they came from, back to the earth. So,
in this
pretty cool.
One.
Yeah, in this one.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
cool.
So anything
that's been
lost?
No.
Keep going.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let people yeah. come in. So go ahead, and you can take a tour in there. You guys can probably come out here and we'll sit. You can sit in the first couple of pews here.
On the host, is it in the glass or on the other side, like we're in the same?
Yeah, when you open
the little
door,
glass.
There's a piece of glass and then there's monstrance, mm-hmm. is what that thing is called,
yeah.
and it's holding the host.
Oh, inside, so inside the glass, it's holding the host?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the one time of year that the candle's not lit?
It's during Thursday, I believe, of Holy Week.
What's that signifying?
Because Jesus has... It's either Thursday or Friday. It might be Friday, Good Friday. And Jesus has died on the cross. And then his body is not in the church. Not on earth.
Right.
In between those days.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Good Friday. Okay. We'll go ahead and get started with this part. So I'll touch briefly on the chairs. So you can see that one chair here is different. This is the bishop's chair. So anytime that the bishop would come, this will be his chair. When the bishop is not present, Father Tilly will sit here. All the other chairs are a little bit smaller, but every church would have a bishop's chair, and then they'll have just the regular priest or deacon chairs. Next, we're gonna talk about the altar. So Michael touched on how the Mass is a sacrifice. We call it the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And even during Mass, we say, let my sacrifice and yours, right? So we're talking about how it is a sacrifice. And one thing that's really interesting is if you look at Aztec history, Mayan history, Greek history, Roman history, they were all sacrifices and they were all building altars all over the world. Throughout all of history, those civilizations built altars. And the altars were to perform sacrifices. The early Jews also had sacrifices. So as I grew up as a Protestant, my church removed the altar and didn't have it in the center of our worship. And the center of our worship was what we called the pulpit. In the Catholic Church, we call it the ambo. That was like the priest was centered. The pastor was the center. The worship was more about teaching and learning instead of a sacrifice. We removed the sacrifice from the church service. Let's see. There's anything else I want to talk about. That. Any questions on the altar? In the early churches, the altars were usually tombs of martyrs. So there was a lot of martyrs in the early church. And if you go to Rome, you can go to the catacombs and you can see where they would celebrate Mass over the tomb of a saint. And so in the altars that are stationed in cathedrals, they'll have pieces of the saints inside the altars. So we continue that tradition today. But yeah, the ambo, when we celebrate Mass, we have the readings. So that'll be the first part, the liturgy of the word. So usually the Mass will start over here with the priest, where we have the introductory rites. And then we'll move to the Liturgy of the Word, which will be read from the ambo. And then we'll celebrate the Liturgy of the Eucharist, which has always happened at the altar. We're going to talk about that in the books. So when we go through the biblical walk through the Mass, we're going to start with the introductory rites, then we'll move on to the Liturgy of the Word, and then we'll move on to the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Any questions on the church layout or the Mass? Yes?
So some churches face east. Why is that?
Yeah, so the Orient, like Oriental Rite churches, Orient means to go to the east. That's where you orient yourself. That's where the sun rises. So in the early church, actually, all of their churches and their prayers faced east. That tradition, I don't know when, but it didn't continue on through the Catholic faith. And I'm not sure even if Greek churches are still, I know that the one downtown does face east. So potentially they still continue that tradition, but I don't know much about Greek Orthodox or Orthodox. Do you know, Michael, if their church is still faced east?
Like Universal is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of facing east?
Yeah.
I just know it has the rising of the sun. I can share with Michael. Okay. You brought it up.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man, that's loud.
I thought Ryan was going to hit it out of the park. But the facing the east, it's not like about the sun per se, more of like what the rising of the sun represents in like the resurrection, I think is the angle you'd go. So I don't know if you're asking more the theological or traditional angle. Yeah. But cool.
There you go. Yep. Any other questions? I don't have anything else in the church. Did you have anything? No? Okay. Yes. Go ahead. Yeah. Great question. When can we come and pray? So the church is open. There are various hours that you can get registered. You have to get registered through the church, and they'll give you a key card. And the key card opens the door that's over by the school, that entrance, that side entrance. And I think you have to get it every month, right? It resets every month. You have to use it once a month or it'll shut off. But there are some set times, but it's pretty long. You can come almost any time during the day. And I think it's still like 11 o'clock at night that it's open for you. And so anytime that you want to come and pray, you can come, you can sit in here, you can sit back there. I prefer to sit back there. But you can sit anywhere that you would like. Yeah.
I will say, if you filled out a registration form and turned it into me, you are already registered. So, like, we register you based off of the fact that you're in our program, and I have all the correct paperwork and information from you. If I haven't, majority of you are already registered in our parish, just simply because I have all of your paperwork and your registration form. But if not, it'd be a great time for you to turn in your registration form to me. But you can also, you're also welcome to register as well at our parish. I would also like your paperwork as well. So.
There's also Wednesday nights.
Yeah, if you don't have the paperwork filled out, most Wednesdays we have confession and compline and adoration. So they'll actually have Jesus presented here on the altar, and you can come and pray here. But that's like a set time and a set day where the other ones, you can come whenever you don't have to schedule it. You can just come whenever you want. Did you have another question?
Don't actually reach out. We are the ones that actually maybe give you the key cards, but you can email Erica Tapia. I think she's the one that a lot of y'all are also sending paperwork to, but she can make the key card for you.
She should be in the bulletin, right?
Yes. Her or Chris Ortega, those are the people that make like give you the key cards and can give those to you.
I have a question. How many of you, by show of hands, if we set like one Wednesday and be like, hey, let's come in and do adoration together, how many of you guys would be interested in that? Well, that's going to happen. Okay, good to know. Look for that.
Any other questions? Yeah. Okay, good. Go ahead.
You
know,
historically,
people
who don't it would make you feel better if you had a permanent altar.
Yeah.
And this altar is not permanent, is that?
That's correct. Okay. It's movable. So it's under, you know, there's a rug underneath it, and it can be moved. So there, yes, we are thinking of making a permanent altar, and that would have a saint's. Probably, I don't know who, yeah. But there would be a relic in the altar. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so his question is, for confession, do you have to be fully baptized before you can go to confession? And the answer is no, but you could wait, because baptism fully cleanses you of all of your sins from all of your past. So there was a practice at one point in the early church where they would wait until their deathbed to be baptized because they understood so much that the sacrament would completely wash them of their sins. I would say that if there's something that's really troubling you, you can schedule a meeting with Father Tilly and or with Father Paul and talk to them about it and see if it would be appropriate for you to go to confession with them. But you're technically not a Catholic yet, so you probably should just wait, would be my advice.
You can't like officially receive the sacrament of your baptism.
Initiation happens first.
You're running out of time.
I mean, they can give you essentially spiritual guidance
yeah.
at that time, which happens, you know, there are priests that can be spiritual fathers for you that way. And they can walk you through if you're struggling with a certain sin or you're struggling with anger issues or things like that. You can work with them to almost do counseling. So you can do that at any time. You don't have to be a Catholic. Good question. Any other questions? You don't need to think. It doesn't have to be about the Mass in the church. Yeah.
What if something happens to you before you can be baptized?
Yeah. So what happens if you have something happen to you before you're baptized? There is baptism by desire that the church recognizes. So if you are in that state where you're like, I want to become Catholic, but I'm going through this process and I'm not there yet, and then you get into a car accident. Actually, if I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but one of my favorite Christian singers was Rich Mullins. If you don't know him, you should look up his music. It's really cool. And he was a Protestant, and he was going through RCIA and becoming Catholic. And almost right before he became Catholic, I mean, this is like right before Easter, he was killed in a car crash. And so the church recognizes that desire of, it's called baptism by desire. So the sacraments are here for us on earth to use, but Jesus and God, they don't have to use the sacraments, right? They're outside of that control. They can do whatever they want. I mean, if there's people that are in the jungles in Africa that are killed and have never experienced God or have never had access to the church, they were never given the sacraments, they still have the opportunity to become saved because of their desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they change the colors with the liturgical calendar?
That's true, yes. So the priest's vestments, which are his clothing, and the colors that we have in the church follow a liturgical calendar. So right now we are in ordinary time, and the colors for ordinary time are green. On the special feast days, they'll change even throughout ordinary time. The priest could wear white, or he could wear red if it's for a martyr. And then we're getting ready to come up on Advent, thank you.
Yeah.
And the church will be purple. And then also during Lent, it'll be purple. During Christmas, it'll be white. And then we'll go into a little bit of ordinary time, and then we'll have Pentecost, which will be red. So, yeah, they'll change the colors of the church. Yep.
I was going to add on her question up front on the dying.
Yeah.
I was going to add two things from like the early church.
Yeah.
On your question about dying before your like Easter vigil and before baptism. And it's actually very early on, catechesis, the church would have like a 3-year like catechesis thing for you. And so it's not being like, oh, it must be because of modern bureaucracy. It's like, no, the church just wants you to understand the faith and know what you're signing up for. But also, there's, if you are, we changed the name of the rites when you do acceptance.
Rite of acceptance.
Rite of acceptance.
Or rite of entrance into the catechism.
It's now entrance? Okay. After that point, you will, you can totally receive a Catholic funeral after that point, and that's been a long-standing tradition of the church. So this like baptism and desire is like reflected in that way in the liturgy of the funeral.
Yeah. Protestant religion is the same way. You don't really have to do any classes to become, you just join the church. And they have what you call an altar call, and you just come up and you're accepted into the church. So it is, I like that it does take a little bit longer because there is so much to the faith that you need to learn, and it does help when you have questions. And we want people to stay, and I think that helps when people stay because they learned that it is true. It's not just that I feel this way today. I want to make this choice, you know? Yeah.
Is it okay during this process, obviously we can't receive the Eucharist, but to receive a blessing instead each Sunday?
Yeah. Okay. So her question is, during this process at the Mass, can you come up and receive a blessing instead of receiving the Eucharist? And 100%, anyone who's non-Catholic can come up, even if you are Catholic and you're not in a state of grace, you can come up and receive a blessing. Just come up and cross your arms, and you can get a blessing. You can also remain in your pew, whichever is more comfortable for you, but I would encourage you to come and receive a blessing. It is a blessing. Okay. Is that it? All right. Let's go ahead and end in prayer. We'll end with the Our Father, okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I wanted to say one other thing. When you come into the church, you'll see people genuflect before they get into their pew. And the reason we do that is because this is the King of Kings. And if you study history, you'll know that the knights or anybody, they would honor someone by kneeling. And so we do the same. And that's how you enter your pew. You'll see some Catholics at a movie theater. They'll genuflect before they go into their aisle. You don't have to do that. Okay, you're free to go.
Please return your name tags.
over by where Darlene and Stephanie are, and then we'll collect those and give those back to you next week, or not next week, but the 28th when we have our next class.
In the coffee room,
Because we kind of talked a little bit about the liturgical year. We have this current year's 2025 liturgical season or calendar.